Oh, good morning. It's so good to be here today to bring God's word to you. And today I'm focusing on a very godly woman. We find her in the book of Ruth, a small book of only four chapters, but it has a great impact. We find it sandwiched between Judges and 1 Samuel. And it was written in the time of Judges, when the Lord was their king. They weren't searching for a man to be king. They were looking to God. But it was a period, a dark period in Israel's history, a time of moral decline, national disunity and foreign oppression. The story takes place in a time of peace between Israel and Moab. They were usually fighting each other. And this particular story is started here. And we read a famine began in Bethlehem in Judea. And I believe other places in Judea. There are four main characters in this book: Naomi, Orpah, Ruth, and Boaz. And I felt the Lord laid it on my heart to speak about Naomi, because my own testimony is intertwined with this lovely lady. And I'd like to read the first chapter of Ruth. So if you'd like to turn to Ruth, which is, as I've said before, it's sandwiched between Judges and Samuel. And I'm starting to read at chapter 1, verse 1. Which is quite a long reading, but I hope you'll follow me if you've got a Bible. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife named Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion were also died. And Naomi was left without a husband and her two sons. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-laws, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me, as am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on together to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. The scene is set in Bethlehem, which means house of bread, and incidentally is where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem. The book is entitled Ruth. The emphasis is on Ruth, but Naomi had such an influence on Ruth and the outcome of the whole thing. The story takes us from affliction and afterwards comfort, from mourning to joy. There is a famine in the land, and Bethlehem is without food. And we read about this little Israelite family, Elimelech the husband, Naomi the wife, and the two sons, Mahla and Chilion. Names are important, and they're important in the Bible. So I think it's particularly interesting that Naomi's name means pleasant, but her sons' names, when translated, mean sickness and weakling and consumption. And from the very first verse, we read that decisions have to be made. All through this book, there's one decision. Some are good made and some aren't so good. Should they go to a foreign country, Moab, which had food, but with all its foreign gods, idols, and corrupt society? Should they have trusted God? Had Elimelech thought it through? So many of us make snap decisions, not thinking of the consequences of that action. When difficulties come, we want to run. Elimelech could see the problem. He had a wife and two poorly children, and the famine was getting worse. So he made the decision to move to Moab. The next verse, to me, is so painful. Just one line. Now Naomi's husband dies, and she was left with two sons. This resounds so much with me. I became a widow when I was 38. It was difficult to keep going. Why, God, why was my cry? I disliked being on my own. How was I going to bring up two sons? But God, in his mercy, took me on a journey with him. Through my tears, insecurity, fear and doubt, to a place where he showed me who I was in him. He would be my husband and a father to the fatherless. And through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the Lord healed my broken heart and filled me with his joy, love and peace. Back to the story. While in Moab, not only did her husband die, but both her sons. We read earlier what their names meant, so we guess that they died quite early. And although they married, they'd never had any children. But God blessed Naomi with two loving, caring daughter-in-laws. Now, Naomi hears that the famine is over in Judah. God has answered the prayer of his people by providing them with food, and the second decision has to be made. Whether to die, for Naomi to die in the foreign land, or return home to Elimelech's people and to her people. Elimelech had not intended to stay in Moab. We know this because he didn't sell his land and use that money to have a home in Moab. He didn't mortgage it. So the land was there ready for Naomi when she returned. And she would be returning to relatives and friends. Is God speaking to you this morning? Have you a big decision to make? God will often bring us to a point where we must make a decision. Shortly after Trevor died, I read a book called Something More by Catherine Marshall, which really opened my eyes to the spiritual things in life, in our Christian walk, that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to come and dwell in us, to lead us into all truth, to show us the way forward. And he invites us to be open to the empowering of his Spirit. Also, which I believe is one of the big deceptions of our age, that the devil isn't, but he is. I can assure you, he's alive and ruling on this earth. But we mustn't be afraid of that as Christians. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us everything to stand against the devil's schemes, so we can stand strong and tall when the enemy comes in like a flood, which I'm sure all of us who have been walking with the Lord have had those moments. When I had finished reading the book, I was on holiday at the time, and we returned home, and I realized that I'd reached a crossroads as Naomi had done. And so I went to the bedroom and I kneeled down, and I was quite surprised what God said to me. When you really mean it, when you really want to seek God, when you seek God with all your heart, you'll meet with him. He's promised that in his word, and he met with me. And his words were, you can carry on being a sad widow, feeling sorry for yourself. Not the words you actually want to hear from God, you know. You want to hear that, oh, you've been raised up for something or other. Anyway. Or you could give your life fully to me. And in the quietness, I surrendered to God, who has taken me on an amazing journey. So if you're in that situation, trust God, because he will bring you through. Naomi makes her decision to return home. Is God asking you to return home? Back to a close relationship with him. We know through all the time in Moab, Naomi never lost her faith, her love for God or his people. Her example had such a big effect on Ruth and Oprah. So much so, they were prepared to leave their mother, family, friends, their own country, own gods, to go with Naomi, to Bethlehem. Naomi's influence. Who are we influencing? Who is observing us? It's challenging, isn't it? We can make a difference in people's lives just by the way we behave and the way we speak. No matter how corrupt a society is, there is godly people that can be found around. It was through Naomi's witness and behavior that Oprah and Ruth were drawn to her. Their response to her was to help prepare for the journey and was ready to go with her. Again, Naomi's character shines through. She is not looking to her own interests. not looking for companionship on her journey, help along the way or support. Her thoughts were only for them. The love Oprah and Ruth had for her, they wept aloud. They could not bear to leave her, although they had their own mothers. We will go back with you to your people, Naomi declares, my daughters. She loved them as daughters. They were no longer daughter-in-laws. They were daughters. They were in her heart. She argued with them. The Lord's hand has gone against me. This is the heart cry of every bereaved person. How can this happen to someone who loves God? She'd obeyed her husband and gone to Moab with him. Why had this happened? When we have lost someone or something we hold dear, that is what we say. How can this happen? It certainly was my heart cry. But God's promises never change, even if our circumstances do. He promises he will never leave us or forsake us through good times and bad. He has promised to walk with you through any and every situation. While bringing up my boys, God said this promise to me, I will be your husband and a father to the fatherless. These two scriptures are so powerful if you believe them by faith and trust him with every detail of your life. I still have not received an answer why Trevor died at 41, but I do know this. God has led and guided me all these years, and I give him all the glory and praise. Naomi, she was in the blessing. Oh, sorry. I've jumped forward. And now we come to another decision, Oprah's decision. Do you remember Oprah and Ruth, the two of her daughter-in-laws? And the Bible says Oprah turned back. She was in the blessing of God, but she turned back. She did not realize that the godly love protection she was receiving while she lived and worked with this godly woman, Naomi. It's easy when you're moving forward, seeing success and blessing, to turn back. How can that be, you ask, when you're in the blessing of God? But the problem is we start to believe that it is us who are in charge and not God. Oprah is not mentioned again. Who knows what blessing she may have had if she had stayed with Naomi and helped her back to Judah. Ruth, however, clings to her. Chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried, if anything but death separates you and me. This statement speaks volumes of Naomi's character. The conduct of Naomi, the Israelite, in a foreign land was able to call forth love and a confession to God from Ruth. Ruth knew Naomi would not let her down. Naomi so often had spoken of her faith in God of Israel, the Jewish nation, and how he had protected and guided them. Ruth had now committed herself not only to Naomi, but to the Lord. Your God will be my God. Naomi and Ruth return to Bethlehem. She's welcome. You can almost hear the buzz as you read the scripture. Naomi's back, they cry. She was loved and respected, but she carried a bitter spirit. She said, call me Mara, which means bitter. Also in an earlier verse, Lord, the Lord is against me. How easy it is when troubles come. When something happens to us that... Have you lost me? No, okay. How easy it is when troubles come and hardship come. Or you're in a situation where people are unkind and say things that really hurt you, and it's hard to forgive them. But God changed the whole situation. Every situation is redeemable. God is able. Nothing is impossible to him. And Naomi spoke out and confessed that she had a bitter spirit, which is the beginning of healing, recognizing the problem. For her to go forward in the purposes of God in her life, she needed to be set free of this bitterness, which would, if left, eat away at her. I've got another little testimony here. Last week, I spoke about the transfer happening, and I wanted to share another testimony. I didn't share it last week because it seemed to be something to bring this morning. It's about bitterness and unforgiveness. And the Lord showed us, some of you perhaps don't know, but Dave and I work in Romania, and we've been looking for a piece of land and the church building to be transferred from one charity to another charity, the charity that Dave and I head up with others. And it's been ages and ages and ages, and you've all walked with me on this journey. I think it's probably 18 months that it's been. But the Lord revealed to us, to us in prayer, because we were obviously in England, but to those in Romania, that a bitter spirit had started to build up. Because of the long wait and misunderstanding and no contact with each other, they were assuming things weren't true, which often happens to bring about a bitter spirit. But God answers prayer. We were all praying, and the miracle happened. A meeting took place. They were all nervous to meet each other because of all what had gone on before. In fact, one of them said, "I don't know whether I can even shake their hands." But as they got there and they started to talk, and the Lord moved and they forgave each other, and he not only shook hands, but he hugged. They hugged each other. This is the mighty power of God when we trust him. You see, God couldn't have this land transferred to us until this was dealt with, because he can't build on something that isn't him. Jesus died so we could be forgiven, and he wants us to forgive others no matter what they've done to us. Now we come to chapter 2, verse 1, Boaz, a relative of Elimelech, that was Naomi's husband. He is her kinsman redeemer. Now this is where I go right off track. And my heart leaps when I read kinsman redeemer, because I think of our Jesus. Jesus is our kinsman. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and he is our redeemer. He went to the cross for each one of us. He took all our sin and shame through his blood shed on that cross. And when we repent, turn from our sins and give our life to him, we are cleansed from all our sin and all unrighteousness. No more guilt and shame. Peter Boyd from St. Paul's often quoted, "He can do more with your life than you would ever believe," and I can testify to that. Back to Naomi. The stories and the news had travelled that Ruth had helped Naomi, even though she was a foreigner. Naomi had given Ruth confidence. She encouraged her not to feel inferior, and Ruth obeyed every word Naomi gave her, the older showing the younger. Ruth's attitude to Boaz, she recognized his kindness and comfort, and she knew who she was. She could have been harmed, but God protected her. He had a plan and a purpose. Naomi was always looking for others' needs. she was looking for Ruth to have a home. She gave her definite instructions, which seem a bit strange to us. So if you read the book, which is really good to read it all, Naomi gave definite instructions on how to behave with Boaz. But Ruth didn't question it, she obeyed. And then the land belonging to Elimelech was bought, not by the first kinsman redeemer, but the second, Boaz. And it was the law at the time that if Boaz bought the land from Naomi, he would also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as his wife, in order to maintain the family name. So his name would not disappear from among his family or from the town records. But God had a bigger plan. Ruth conceived and gave birth to a son, Obed. The women in the village said, "Praise be to the Lord." And strangely enough, they said, "Naomi has a son." Not Ruth has a son, but Naomi has a son. Naomi holds this healthy little baby. You can imagine the joy. She would teach him the ways of the Lord. She would love him and care for him. A message for all us grandmothers and grandfathers, I think. It's an amazing outcome. And now I'm going to use an illustration that Val brought last week, which was amazing talk, I think you will agree. Do you remember the scarlet? Yeah? Well, this is an illustration of the bloodline, the genealogy. Boaz, father to Obed. Obed, father to Jesse. Jesse, father of David, King David. Most of you have heard of King David. And then on and on and on to Jesus. She, Ruth, a foreigner from Moab, who gave her heart to the Lord, is now in the genealogy. And her name is actually mentioned in Matthew in the genealogy. She was so regarded. Could Naomi have ever imagined this would happen and she would play such a part? She had the privilege to love, cherish and teach this little one, Naomi's reward. What are the secrets of this story? What can we learn from Naomi's life? First of all, decisions are important. They're challenging. But it's good to go and seek God and get his word on it. Then we can go forward with that knowledge. Okay, everything seems a mess, but I've had this word and I'm going forward with it. God gives a second, third and on chance. When we mess up, as we do, he comes into that situation with forgiveness, love and grace. If we trust him and stay in faith. Wherever we are, especially when we are in a hostile environment, which I know in the workplace is, we can be and act as ambassadors of God, as we truly are. We can live the Christian life, even though it's tough in a hostile environment. Naomi showed that example. Naomi moved from bitterness to joy. She had to recognize that bitterness in herself and confess it before she could move forward. There is no room for unforgiveness in the kingdom. Having to return and return home, that isn't always easy, is it? When we've gone away from the Lord, doing things in our own strength, pride gets in the way. But as soon as we repent, turn to him, he's there waiting with open arms. Naomi's transformation from despair to happiness. God has a unique plan and purpose for each of our lives. Stay close to him and trust. And anyone who does not know Jesus as their personal Saviour, who's here this morning, he is waiting with his arms open wide. Come, come. He's calling you this morning. If the Lord has been speaking to you through anything that I've spoken about this morning, I'd like you to come forward for prayer. The worship team will play Be Still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and to heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. Do feel free to come forward and someone will come and pray with you. God bless you. May God bless each one and your families.